All right, if you would, we're going to be looking at this afternoon at Mark chapter 13, verses 34 through 36, but we're going to read verses 32 through 37, so if you would like to turn in your copy of God's Word and follow along with me, you can turn to Mark chapter 13. We will begin at verse 32. Hear now the word of the Lord. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. The word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask his blessing on it. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things that you teach us. And we pray that you would open our eyes to behold the wonderful things in it, that you would change us and build us up, encourage us, and prepare us through this word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay awake. You've just had a nice lunch. Yeah, it's been a long morning, and it's warm in Knox. The temptation will be to doze off into sleep as you feel drowsiness approaching. So stay awake. This is what Jesus was telling his disciples. They were approaching a time in which he knew there would be a temptation to fall into drowsiness, and so he charges them to stay alert, to stay awake. And what exactly is Jesus, is the temptation that Jesus is warning them against? And what does Jesus mean exactly when he's telling them to stay awake? Well, we're going to look and consider in this passage briefly. First, the task that Jesus has given to his disciples, and secondly, the temptation that they're going to face, and then finally, how to stay awake. So first, the task. The parable begins, and Jesus says, it is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Now Jesus says that you are like the people who have been given a task by a master who's going away. Now, you'll remember the context of this whole chapter if you were in, if you heard the evening sermon 2 weeks ago. If not, I guess you can go online and probably hear it. But Jesus, in this chapter, was preparing his disciples for life in the last days. And if you'll remember, that we are now living in the last days. Now, Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, but because I have defeated Satan, sin, and death, I am the king, and I am coming back to bring my kingdom in its fullness. You are in the last days in which I have conquered, right, sin and death, and I am king. But I'm not going to come necessarily immediately. You don't know when I'm going to return. This period between Christ's first, between Christ's ascension and Christ's second coming, Jesus says, are the last days. So we are living in the last days. And you'll remember that Jesus warned them about some of the challenges they would face. That they would see wars, they would hear rumors of wars, they would see false teachers coming into the church, trying to lead people astray. they would face persecutions for his sake. And he said, these are the things that you're going to experience during the last days. So don't be alarmed, but know that those things are just pointing and reminding you that I am coming back. But this is how I want you to live in the last days. And so he ends here with this parable. Now, the task here, what is the task that Jesus has given his disciples? Well, Jesus gave his disciples, and he gave you, and he gave me the task just before he left, when he told his disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, therefore, go into all the world, making disciples of all the nations and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Make disciples. Build my kingdom. And you also may remember that 2 weeks ago when we looked at earlier at this chapter, that Jesus said, there may be many generations, but before I come back, the gospel has to go out. Right? I'm not going to come back until I've gathered all of my people. All the people that I've elected. So he says that is your task, the Great Commission. And so you have been called in these last days to serve Jesus. Now, you may notice in the parable, when the master leaves home, he puts his servants in charge, each, Jesus says, with his work. So each servant has his own job. There are different tasks. One man is in charge of the garden, one man's in charge of keeping the food, another man is in charge of keeping the house clean, another one is in charge of making sure people are fed, another is in charge of keeping watch. Each has his own task, but each task is part of the same mission, and so it is with you. God has given each of you a task. That task might be serving him as a mother, raising children, teaching them about Jesus. It might be as a school teacher or a mechanic, taking care of people's car and caring for people's needs. It may be as a pastor or as an elder working in the church. But all of your tasks are the purpose of your task is to serve Jesus and to be a light and a witness to his kingdom. So that's the task. Well, what's the temptation? The temptation is to fall asleep. Now, why would that be a temptation? Why would falling asleep be a temptation? Maybe you've been in a situation where your parents have gone away for some time and they said, here's a list of things that I want you to do before I get home. And you know, okay, they're going to be gone all day. So you think, I don't need to get started on things now. I've got all day. and so it's easy to get slack. Or maybe some of you who are older in college or grad school, or maybe you remember your college and grad school days and you were assigned a paper and you think, this is not due to the end of the semester. I've got time. And you just kind of put it off, right? Now, when you look at your watch, and if you know your parents are getting home in exactly 30 minutes and you haven't done your duty, you're not tempted to fall asleep. You are alert. You're running around and you're making sure things are getting done. And so Jesus says that the temptation for you is to get sleepy because you don't know the hour that I'm returning. That's the temptation. And that's especially a temptation, perhaps, for us, now living almost 2,000 years since Jesus' ascension into heaven. It's really easy to think, well, Jesus hasn't come back yet. We probably have lots of time. The return of Jesus, that's something very distant. And that can lull you into spiritual slumber and spiritual laziness. Jesus, when Luke records this account, when he records this parable, Jesus says, therefore, stay awake, lest you fall into temptation. What does it mean to be awake? To be awake is to be alert. And you know, there's not just two states. You know, you're either awake or you're asleep. There can be this kind of gradual, this gradual continuum into sleep, right? When you first start feeling drowsy, you're still conscious, right? And you still see things and you hear things, but your mind is kind of not processing things quite so quickly, and your reflexes are a lot slower, right? Then once you finally fall asleep, then you have no reflexes at all. Well, Jesus is saying, as if you start getting spiritually dull and spiritually sleepy, and you're not sharp and alert, temptations are going to come, and you're going to have difficulty resisting them. You remember when Jesus was in the garden? He knew he was going to the cross, and he tells just Peter, James, and John, he says, come with me into the garden. And he says, I'm going to pray here a few steps, but I want you to stay here with me. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Well, the disciples, what happened to the disciples? Jesus comes back 30 minutes later. What are they doing? They're sleeping, right? They've fallen asleep. And then he goes back, watch and pray, and comes back again. And then they fall asleep as well. And it's interesting, when the guards come to arrest Jesus, what happens to the disciples? Remember, what had Peter said earlier that day? Lord, even if you have to, even if die, I will be there with you. I will die with you. And what happened when the soldiers came in? The disciples, they fled. Peter ran away. He had become sleepy. He was not alert. I think Jesus was teaching them a lesson in that garden that they would remember long after he had ascended. Keep alert. Watch. Keep watchful. So when you become sleepy, your spiritual defenses become dulled. And you become lazy. You start to forget your tasks. And then when you're asleep, you're not working at all, and then you have no defenses. You're completely susceptible to the enemy. So Jesus says there's a temptation. The temptation will be to become spiritually dull. Stay awake. Stay alert so that you can serve me in the task I've given you, serving the kingdom, and that you can be on the guard for temptation. So I want to ask you this afternoon, are you spiritually asleep? Are you spiritually alert and sharp? Or are you somewhere in between? Okay, you know your call in life. You have a sense of that. But, you know, sometimes you have a tendency to forget. You're spiritually feeling drowsy. Jesus says, stay alert. Well, thirdly, how do you stay awake? How do you stay alert? Well, I'm going to say three things. First, keep yourself filled with the Word. When you're filled with the Word, your vision is clear. And that's why Paul, in his letter to the Colossians and to the Ephesians, he says, after giving them the orders of marching orders, this is what your life is to look like, loving one another, encouraging one another, forgiving one another, right? This is how you are to be a witness of Jesus as the church. And then he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So as the word fills you, right, it keeps your sight clear. You remember who Jesus is. You remember who you are, his disciple. You remember where you're headed. You remember that Jesus is coming back, and it keeps you sharp. And it makes you vigilant. When you see things that are not quite true, when you hear things that are not quite true, when you see temptations, then you are prepared to face those challenges. So letting the word dwell in you richly. Stay awake by being filled with the word. Secondly, stay alert by prayer. And this is, as you read through scripture, you see, notice how often prayer is connected with watchfulness. And I mentioned Jesus in the garden telling his disciples, watch and pray. You see Paul in his letters, when he's telling the church to keep alert, he says, pray and be watchful in it. In Ephesians 6, the famous armor of God passage, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. How would the disciples have prepared themselves for the temptation? Now, we know, God in his providence, of course, had ordained that they would scatter and they would forsake him, because that's what Jesus needed to do to rescue them and to rescue us. But he was teaching them that by prayer, when you are in prayer, your mind becomes sharpened. Your spiritual eyes become sharpened, become attuned to God. And that's why Paul here says, pray at all times, being watchful in it. And when you pray that God would deliver you from temptation, as the Lord taught us to pray, or you pray that God would strengthen your brothers and sisters, that God would strengthen the church, that God would equip and bless the leaders in the church, that God would be and strengthen missionaries, that God would help you in your daily calling, your work, to be a witness to him. When you pray for your children, making supplication, you are being watchful in prayer. So pray. And then thirdly, how to stay awake. Keeping your eyes on Jesus. So Jesus says, I'm coming back. You don't know the day or the hour, but keep your eyes on me, remembering that I am coming back. We have an expression, keep your eye on something, right? Keep your eye on the clock. If you're doing something and someone says, keep your eye on the clock, they don't mean, well, you don't look at anything else. What they mean is, you keep your glance going back to that clock so that you're always aware of what time it is. And so in the same way, when Jesus says, stay awake, he's saying, keep your eye on me. Keep your eye on my return. Remember that I'm coming back. Let me ask you a question. If a prophet came to you, and we know that he couldn't because Jesus said no one knows the hour of the day, but if a prophet came to you with an infallible word that Jesus, and you knew for sure that Jesus was returning tomorrow morning at 9:35 a.m., the King of Kings coming to judge the quick and the dead, what would your life look like in the next 16 hours? What would you do? How would you live? Jesus here says, you are to live every day as if I was coming back tomorrow. That is what it means to live with spiritual alertness. John Wesley, the famous evangelist, was asked one time, said, what would you do? There was a woman who said, what would you do tomorrow if you knew Jesus was coming back at the end of the day? And John Wesley took out his calendar book, and he flipped to that next day, and he looked through, and he just started reading the things. So I'd go here, meet this person, praying at 8 o'clock, meeting so-and-so for encouragement, preaching at this church. I would do what I'm doing right now. And that is what the alert Christian life looks like. So, no one knows the day or the hour, but remember, Jesus is coming. The King is coming. We are in the last days, and we have a task, and we are to live with our eyes on Him. Remember the task? Remember, there's a temptation to spiritual slumber. So, stay awake. Be filled with the Word. Constantly in prayer, being watchful in it, and keep your eye on Jesus, who could return at any time. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the wonderful promise that you are coming back. And even as we look, Lord, at everything in the world, the challenges, persecutions, sufferings, we know that these things remind us you are coming back. We pray that you would give us the grace to stay awake, to keep spiritually alert. Lord, let us be filled with your Word. Let us be filled with your Spirit. Let us be watchful in prayer. And let us, Lord, live lives that are worthy of the calling to which you called, so that when you do, Jesus, return, we will hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, we can only do this by your grace and your Spirit, so we ask you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.